Yeah, that's all I can think of is what he said the last about that bus trip. All I can think of is, let me get out of here. Some of y'all think of that here in a minute. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. I don't need one. I kill people who do that. There you go. Am's only for dry preachers. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Good to be here again. Good to see people that you've seen before. Brother Ryman says that at our place, and I say it at yours. I like seeing the same folks. It means you're faithful. I like seeing a few new folks, and that means you're doing something. And that's a blessing here about 6 saved. We had 6 saved at our church yesterday also Sunday morning. That was a real blessing. We had a family get saved a few weeks ago. A woman got saved, and her husband come and kids, and they all got saved. And we're going to dunk them here pretty soon. And just a blessing for God to be able to do something everywhere. God's not dead. He's all over the place. And God can do stuff if he wants to do it. And you just make yourself available and willing, and he'll use you for something. And the problem is most people want to be the big cheese. They want to, like the old boy said about the young guy had to take over at the grocery store for the owner, and a businessman came in and said, I need to see the owner. And the owner said, the young boy said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, he's not here right now. I'm the big cheese now. And he said, you can talk to me. He said, no, just give your boss a message. Just tell him he's about out of cheese. You know, I know it's hard for you guys, isn't it? We're starting out real slow. Okay, now's the time to laugh. Shit. Forget it. Yeah, pray. Somebody pray for me. Brother Chandler's praying right now. Praise God. I need it. Did y'all find 2 Chronicles? Good. Yeah, about out of cheese. You didn't. I sat there staring at me. Like a bunch of Southern Baptists, man. Your church's a little more loose than most, but I've been to churches where they're just, froze, man. They're just froze. And I preached a revival at a Southern Baptist church in Kentucky one time. And, it didn't matter. You could cry, you could laugh, you could tell a joke. They look at you just like that the whole stinking time. Man, it was a miserable existence, man, I tell you. no kidding, man. Do everything you can. And then that's what y'all reminded me of just then. And one guy said, SOB don't always stand for Southern Baptist. Some of you people ought to realize that. 2 Chronicles 14. Yeah, amen. I use word. You know, that's why I get them broke up. I'll go to a church like that, and I'll do something, and then I'll say something like, yeah, and them bunch of stinking queers, you know they did. And boy, everybody go. And then they look at each other like, did he really say that? I said, look, they're alive. they put that little glaze on. Their mind's in outer space. They hadn't thought of nothing except football, basketball, or something else. And their mind's on. They're in super glide. There ain't nothing to them. So we try. After a while, you got to do something. We're here to worship God. Then you're here to get preached at. And you're here to listen and get something from God. Like the brother prayed earlier or said earlier, if you might miss something. The problem is if you miss a service and miss what God had for you, the sad fact is you don't even know you missed it. The thing that God was going to use, you don't even know you missed it. You don't even feel bad about it that you missed it. But anyway, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 1, read about 7 verses. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. And also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. I like that. Let's pray. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit, help me now. Give me the unction and the power of God, the anointing I need, Lord, to preach. And God in heaven, help these folks that are listening to get something. Lord, you by your miraculous power, you can have me say something that to some person might be a rebuke and to the other person might be an exhortation. And so God, I pray by your Holy Spirit's power, you'd do the miraculous work in dealing with people's hearts to give them what they need. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now what I want you to see there in verse 7, you notice he said they built walls. Back in verse 6, they said they built fenced cities and they had rest. Now listen, folks, they had the promised weepers, and that's kind of gone out of existence, I guess. All Christianity goes in fads, you know, just like the world. They got a new fad. They got this fad, the laughing revival. Then they went to the howling like dogs and cows and cats and everything else. I mean, no kidding, man. I mean, I watched my sister one time. The Catholic Church got involved in it. I mean, I was at my brother's for some kind of birthday or something. They had this Catholic Church thing they were looking at and had these nuns that were going, oh, like coyotes, you know? And I'm standing there looking at that, and they're all embarrassed as the day is long because they know that I know they're idiots, right? I mean, and I'm going, what are they doing? You know, I'm trying to play dumb. It's not that hard, but I try. Anyway, and I said, what are they doing? They said, well, you know, the Spirit of God moving them and stuff. I said, how like a coyote? Are you crazy? But I mean, not only they were doing it, other churches and people were doing the same thing, rolling over, walking around like coyotes. And that was a fad they went through. Praise God they got over that. And then they had a laughing revival. And then they had different things. And now they got different kinds of music and styles and people coming up. Used to have pulpits. Now they don't. They got just a little lectern, if they got that at all. They don't wear a tie. They don't wear anything. We got a guy in Amarillo. He thinks it's a sin to wear a tie, to preach in a tie. Now, you may not like a tie, but I don't think it's a sin. I ain't going to tell you why, but the guy's a complete idiot. Brother Mark knows him real well. Anyway, but but anyway, the guy, yeah, oh, you know. But I mean, you know, I'm not a Pharisee. I mean, really, no kidding. I'm not. And I can tell you how to spot a Pharisee. If you want to spot a Pharisee, just ask him, what's the problem? Like, where have you been? What's wrong? And then what he'll say, he'll go through a list of things. He'll say, well, listen, I may not go to church, but I do this and I do that and I go to help people out and I go to this and I go to the hospital and I visit this and I give money to this cause or that cause. You see, what he is, he's a Pharisee. Remember the Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray? And he started his list. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And he just started down his list. That's how you spot a Pharisee. You say, if I come up to you and you haven't been coming to church, or the pastor does, said, brother, we're just praying for where you been, you know, we'd like you to come back. Well, I'll tell you, I've been worshiping God out here in nature, and I can worship God out. See, he's a Pharisee is what he is. Yeah. And them are the people that killed Jesus, so you don't want to be one of them. Yeah. All right, so, but you know, as a fundamental, independent, King James, soul-winning, window-rattling, shingle-pulling Baptist, you got to have some rules somewhere about something. And you got to have some in your own home. Amen. Now listen, this old boy, the promise keepers, they said they're going to bust down the walls, break down the walls. Buddy, everybody here, I'll bet you got walls in your house. You moms and dads got a door on your bedroom. You don't want kids walking around. You got a door on your house with a lock on it. You know why? You don't want certain people coming in and you don't want the little kids running out. So some walls you need to have up. Some fences you need to have up. The old saying is, good fences make good neighbors, and that's true. I mean, you know, you got a good fence, everybody knows where the line is. In your home, you better have a line. Say, kiddo, that's it. You step over it, you're going to get whooped. And not only that, stay away from that stinking line. You don't need to go sticking up right a close of it and everything. I mean, so everybody here knows the importance of having a fence. You ought to, right? Good fences make good neighbors. Fences are not that expensive. But you know, the title of the message is real simple. You want a fence or do you want to pay for an ambulance? You got a choice, fences or ambulance. Our job and my job and your pastor and the other folks here that are preaching, our job is to either warn you and warn the state, the saints, to build a fence and say, don't go past this point. Or our job is to salvage or reclaim you bunch of idiots that wouldn't listen.
That's right,
amen. Now, it'd be a whole lot easier to build a fence than to afford to buy an ambulance, amen, to pick up your carcass that after you got wrecked, you done wrecked it. Ambulances, I looked it up, they average about $100,000 for an ambulance. Most of your fences don't cost that much. Everybody likes fences. I live in Texas, so we got a big old border. We like to build a fence. Yeah. Now, you know why Texas hadn't built our own fence? Because the federal government wouldn't let us do it. Yeah. Well, we'd build our own stinking fence. Now we got, Presidente Trump. He's in there, and he's supposed to build a fence, but he's not getting with it too good. I don't know what the problem is. Yankees, I think. But I mean, that must be it. But I mean, what's the matter with building a fence?
Amen.
They have that in different countries. The idea of, you know, Europe's turned into a mess because letting all the Muslims in, right? And we're getting in a mess because a lot of Muslims, they look just like Mexicans. They come across the border. They do. Y'all racist, are y'all racist? Yeah. Y'all know what Mexican? We call them Mexicans, not Mexicans. But I live down there. We got about half our church is Mexican. Y'all been down there, you know it. Half the church white and Mexican and black and green and yellow and everything else. We got our church. And I talk like that down there, like there. And listen, you better have thick skin and not get so offended all the time. You would think in the South they'd get more offended. But up North, you know, some of these Yankees, boy, you say something about some ethnic variety and all of a sudden they get in a huff. Walking off. That's true. Do you know ever joke to be funny has to have an element of truth? That's why they tell black people jokes and Mexican jokes, and nobody tells white jokes. No, they do too. I was in the Army, and black folks have white. You know, we used to have a thing called a slingshot, but we had another name for it. Something shooter, right? And I told the black guys in my platoon, I said, hey, man, we call this a you-know-what shooter, right? And I used the word because we didn't care. Anyway, I said, what do y'all call it? See, we call it whitey whoppers, you know? And he said, I'm like them white gloves you wear, them cotton gloves, we call them honky donkeys, you know? Had a little mule on the deal. I mean, I've been around, folks. I mean, and some people, you know, you've been watching way too much TV.
Yeah.
I can tell. You're a little stiff. You say, well, I'm in Faith Baptist Church. We're all wild as a bunch of run-over dogs. And, man, I mean, we're crazy up here. Well, some of you ain't all that crazy. Some of y'all a little stiff, you know? Listen, you can pay for a fence at the top of the hill, or you can go all the way down the bottom and let them crash and wreck your life and pay for an ambulance to pick them up. You know, years ago, with Bill Cosby, before all this mess happened, he used to tell stories. And some of y'all might remember the story about the baby buggy bumpers, go-karts. And they'd steal all the wheels and they'd get at the top of the hill and they'd ride them down and they all had certain things and they'd crash at the bottom and the cops would pick them up and all that kind of stuff. And you know, a kid, liking that in your mind, you think about it, if you put a fence at the top, the kids can't get off the side of the hill to crash at the bottom. But if they do break through the fence and they get to the bottom and they crash, your church is here to help them. Amen. Try to pick them back up, mend them. But listen, it's a lot more expensive to pay for an ambulance. Amen. A little old fence up there at the top will save you a lot of trouble. Now, there's something wrong with the fences in America as far as lines to cross. I was in the Army, and we had a private one time, got something stole out of his wall locker. So I had to go down there and look at it, see what's going on. Went down there, and everybody in that thing said, well, it's his fault for leaving the door, his locker unlocked. And it just struck me. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, just because he left it unlocked. Yeah, if he leaves it unlocked, it's public property, man. I said, where was you raised? I don't care if it was wide open, dollar bills hanging over the front. It's not yours. Keep your mitts off of it. What's wrong with teaching kids it's wrong to steal? Nowadays they say, well, it had the keys in it. I guess he wanted it stole. No, you don't want it stole just because you leave the keys in it. We grew up with only one door in our house that locked. I mean, the rest, you could just walk in. We walk in the front door, it didn't have a lock on it. Never had a lock on it. I don't think it still does. My niece lives there now. But anyway, the only one was the bathroom. That had a lock on it. We didn't want anybody waltzing in on you there. Could be a little embarrassing. Amen. But you know what? We never thought of somebody just coming to our house and walking in and stealing something. Never happened. But bless God, now you don't do that. We got a bolt. I got a deadbolt lock and another kind of lock. And I got a gun in the house. And I got, you know, dogs outside. Old Manfred, he's 16 years old. He goes, oh, oh. He's not going to do a whole lot, but maybe he'll alert us to something being out there. I don't know. We got a little dog, Jiffy. She ain't going to do it. She'll just yap. She'll scare. And she's scared of her own shadow. I don't know why we even got them mutts. They're fun. But you know, down in Houston, that Brother Mark knows, some of y'all know the church down there. They had, during the church service, had four cars broken into in the parking lot. People stealing stuff out of your cars. You know as well as I do, you go up here to a shopping mall somewhere at Christmas time, and you buy a bunch of stuff. All the cops say, now look, when you get something, put it in the trunk, lock it up, cover it up, so nobody will come by and steal it. You know what? Everybody's getting raised. The idea is if I can steal it, it's okay. If it's out there, I can do it. It's time you started teaching your kids it's wrong to steal. Amen. There's a line you don't cross over. I don't care if it's a $500 bill. They don't make them. But anyway, a $100 bill sitting right there, it is not yours. Amen. I know when you hear it in the news, somebody found $20,000 in a satchel and some little old kid brought it to the police department, turned it in. They say, I wouldn't have done that. I know you're just rotten and crooked. That's all there is to it. You can be bought off. One guy said, well, every man has his price. Everybody that says that has a price. Everybody says that. Not everybody has a price. You think all the Christian martyrs that died, they didn't have a price. They died before they'd do what they were told to do. Now listen, you can pay for you an ambulance or you can build you a fence. A lot of times they build basketball courts in the ghettos and stuff, and they say, well, the poor little babies need something to do besides kill each other. Or they give you birth control pills, you know, and they say, here, what about teaching them quit it? Amen. I was on a plane with a guy today, and his job was to go around and teach, responsible drinking. And I said, I got a real good way to have responsible drinking. He goes, really, what is it? I said, don't. Amen. Well, it's not a sin to drink. It's just a sin to get drunk. That's from a Southern Baptist deacon. The Southern Baptist Church in our town passed a deal in their minutes or bylaws where it used to be if you was a deacon, you couldn't drink or smoke. And bless God, that cut out half the church. Anyway, so what they did, they changed the rules. They said, you can drink, but you can't get drunk. That's what we thought when we was Catholics. Didn't kind of slow us down much, but we said it's wrong to get drunk, but it's okay to drink. You got to draw a line, folks. You say, no. Amen. All these guys, they say, well, Jesus drank. I said, really? A Merlot or a Chardonnay? Did he have white wine with the fish and red wine with the steak? Yeah. And they look at you like you're crazy. I'm going, no, man, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what kind of wine he drank. He drank grape juice. That's called new wine. Yeah. You try to explain that to a guy that's looking for a verse to drink on, though, he don't care. Every drunk bum at the mission knows the verse, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. They'll all use a verse in the Bible to continue with their sin. Amen. Amen. This country's spending billions on ambulances instead of fences. You got laws and rules and nobody enforces them. I get upset. I don't know about you get upset. Oh, Hillary Clinton did all them bad things and nobody ever did nothing. That leads to anarchy. Because people say, well, she can do all that. And if I did it, they'd throw me under the prison. And they don't even charge you with nothing. And that leads people to just say, well, bless God, I'll do what I want to do too. And then you start having all kind of problems, which we got. You'll ruin their lives. You get mad at a preacher if he calls your kid down in church because you're too sorry to teach him how to act in church. Boy, I quit preaching and went to meddling now. Amen. I'll tell you, I was pastoring a church in downstate Texas called Whitney, a little old town, and had not a very big congregation, but had this guy, his name was Gomer, really was, okay? Anyway, and him and his wife, I can't help how to name the dumb kid. Y'all don't name your kids stupid things, all right? I was talking about that earlier. People name their kids stupid things. Well, anyway, this old guy, Gomer, and his wife, and they had this little girl. Well, the little old girl's about, I'd say at that time, Christy was about 6-7 years old. Well, she wore a nice little old dress about down to here, and they sit right smack dab on the front. And the wife, and then Gomer, and the little girl, Christy. Anyway, I just started preaching, and it was the 4th of July about then, and I was preaching on rebellion. Rebellion. And I can remember it. And all of a sudden, a little old Christy flipped upside down with her underwear showing, a dress full over, and she's waving her legs over the top of the pew at everybody in the back. Well, nobody fell asleep on that sermon. And so she's waving. So I stop a little bit. Dramatic pause. Waiting on mom and dad to go, Christy. And the mom's going, Christy, quit it. Christy, quit it. Christy, quit. Christy, quit that. Christy, now quit that. Christy, quit that. And I finally, this is driving me nuts. Anyway, and she just looked at her mom like, drop dead. And so I'm in charge. I'm the big hay. I'm the pastor, right? The big cheese. We're almost out of cheese. Now you got it, didn't you? Anyway, so I walked down there, and I said, Christy, turn around and sit down. And she just looked at me like, what are you going to do about it? I mean, boy, she's a little punk. So I walked down there, grabbed her, picked her up, bam! I said, sit there and shut up. The love of God is... No, okay, so I got all done with that, right? I got to preach my sermon on rebellion, got all done, and I go back to my office over on that side like your all's is, and the mom and dad want to talk to me. And they come, I said, come on back. So we come back into my office. They said, we don't think you should have treated our daughter like that, right in front of everybody. Well, I wasn't too happy, and I've grown in grace since then. But then I said, if you two idiots would have taught that little punk how to act, I wouldn't have to.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Make you a line, say, now, kid, whoop your kid. Don't make the pastor have to jump on your kid during church. I did that, and I mean, you say, well, people get mad and leave. I've had people get mad because I jumped on their kid in the service. They're sitting back there just running their big mouths. I finally had enough, and I said, hey, what are you guys talking about back there? Huh? Shut up. And then it went on. Well, mom and dad decided they didn't want to come back. Isn't that amazing? Brother Mark can tell you about an occasion. I won't give all the details. But he had to call down a kid at a children's home. Calvary Baptist, you know, over there, brother. I won't tell you who it is, but it's Brother Mc... But well, anyway, he had to call him down because he was talking or something. And then they wouldn't have him back after that. Because turns out it was the grandson of the preacher. And then that. And that's something.
Yeah.
Now you know, don't you?
Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah. Yeah, how about giving me a paper cut and putting lemon juice in that while you're at it, huh? But you say, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. A lot of families and people, you better build you a fence and say, kid, you don't act like that. You don't act like that in church, and bless God, you don't act like that at home. My excuse when I was a kid, I said, well, everybody else is doing it. My dad's patent answer was, no, they're not. Everybody ain't doing it because you're not.
Amen.
And if you're not, then everybody ain't doing it.
Amen.
I might be the only one, but not everybody is doing it.
Amen.
You ought to thank God you got a church here. Well, I mean, Ryman lets things go. I believe in the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. But I know him. I know there are certain things he says, we got to put a stop.
Amen.
That's not going on in here. Yeah. Bless God, you got churches, drinking's okay, fornicating's okay,
yeah.
People shacking up's okay,
yeah.
Everything's okay. It ain't okay.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying you run everybody off. We've got a couple that came to church Sunday. They got a couple kids. They're not married. I didn't run them off. Bless God, they're not joining like that. I go to them, talk to them, and they get hitched. Then maybe we can talk about them joining. But they're not joining our church if they ain't. I mean, good night, folks. What's the matter with America? What's the matter with independent fundamental Baptist churches and not making a fence along somewhere and say, we don't do that. Our family don't do that. Our church don't do that. And you know if you do that, somebody's going to jump on you with both feet. And you deserve it. Amen? You allow your little pudding-head punk kids go around. You got you a smartphone for your dumb kid. And you got this thing, and it can get on every last thing. Fournier, hello, Mr. Stocker. I discounted labor as much as I had to have electrical work done. Never mind. But you can get anything on here, couldn't you? Anyway, but you know what? Your kids, now listen, you kids are wrong, and you're sinning, and you ought to be whooped for looking some of that stuff on there. But folks, you parents need to be whooped. Letting your kid have full access to the internet on a computer or on a phone or whatever else they got. You think a 16, 15, 16-year-old all hormoned up boy with testosterone running out his ears all of a sudden sees something and goes, ooh, that's bad. I'll turn that right off. No, they're going to go, wow. Wow. What else is on there? I mean, that's their reaction. Parents, you ought to, but something bad wrong with you. You say, why? If you don't put that on her, that little old boy is watching it. He watches more. He watches more. He gets involved in it. Then he starts doing stuff. And the more they watch, they get influenced by TV. You let them watch bad stuff on TV. Watch bad stuff on movies, cursing and porn and all that kind of stuff in there. So, well, just a little bit. Just a little bit. You know the old story about the dad telling the kids, they say, well, Dad, it's just a little bad. It's just a little bit. We'll go to the dance, and just a few people do bad. And he made him a whole bunch of brownies. Y'all heard about that? Yep. The dad made all the brownies, and he gave it to the kids and said, before you go here, you eat these brownies. So the kids all get the brownies. Said, they started to eat them. He said, oh, yeah, by the way, I just put a little dog poop in there. He said, but it's just a little bit. But a little bit cannot be good, right? You watch stuff, you let people think things go like that. Listen, you want decent young people, build you a fence. Now, I'm not saying that. Listen, the old saying is you don't gotta throw a kid into the sewer to let him know it stinks. One old boy put it this way. He said, some of you parents, you throw them in a sewer and then get mad at them for stinking. What's wrong with you? You take them to a place, let them watch everything, do everything, and then they start using that bad language and they start saying things and getting involved and then say, why you little devil, why are you doing that? Well, you sent them down there. This church is you ought to put up fences around here and then stay away from the fence. Amen? Now, folks, some of you, I'm preaching to the bunch like this. I'll bet you. I know you. Yeah. How many of y'all got a phone? How many of you got a smartphone? How many of you mom and daddies already get whooped? can you get on internet in your phones? Mm-mm-mm. Now I done quit preaching, went to meddling, didn't I?
Amen.
You say, I'm not trying to be mean to you fellas. But if these boys got any red blood, unless they're queer as a $4 bill,
amen,
they have seen things on here you ain't supposed to see.
Right.
And it's their fault.
Yep.
It is your fault.
Amen.
But your mom and dad should never let you do that.
Amen.
You say, well, you just got to have it in case there's something. Buy you one of them little flippy phones.
Right.
Buy you one of them phones that you can track them. Don't you trust me? No.
Amen.
Any parent that falls for that is stupid.
Amen.
You little boys here, you're going, well, what's the matter? Don't you trust me? No, I don't trust myself, stupid.
Amen.
I put fences up for me.
Amen.
Make no provision for the flesh. Can't be messing around with stuff. You think, well, we're super spiritual. We don't do this. We don't watch that. That's because good night wouldn't mess. We'd do it. They put that stuff on TV and influence you. Say, well, it doesn't really influence you. Oh, yeah, it does. Why do you think they spend $1 million on a 30-second ad to get you to want something you ain't got? TV influences. Movies influence. And people, you say, well, it's, and then you got a little old kid, and bless God, if you're a little old boy, you're a little old girl, takes off down the side of that fence, shipwreck, wrecks himself at the bottom, we'll send an ambulance. Yes, but we don't want to have to spend $100,000 on an ambulance and try to recover what we can out of the little critter and try to get him back and heal him up and get him back where they don't have permanent injuries. They got stuff out there, buddy, you can't wash off with soap and water nowadays. You heard the statistics. If you know all these fornicating kids running around loose, about 50% of them got STDs. If you don't know what that means, good. But don't get it, because you can't get rid of it. How about you girls like to tell your future husband after you've been married, say, well, by the way, I need to tell you something. That might not go over so good. Or guys, tell your wife. You're going to have to tell you something before we have kids. Right, I'm trying to put a fence up and say, yes, sir, right. Come to that altar, pure as the driven snow. Amen. Tell you, I didn't kiss my wife till we got married. Amen. She wasn't my wife till I got married. Yeah. I did a mess of kissing before we got married when she was just my financee. But we never messed around. Outside of kissing. I like kissing. I still like kissing. My wife. I got a license and a ring. I got a license to kiss. I'm a licensed kisser. Yeah. Put a fence up for them chicken farms. Put a fence up for them chickens not to get out of the roost. I got to help him out. He was upset about something over there, poor fella. Now, what I'm getting at is every family, every man, every mom and dad ought to say, now look, in our household, and you might have different ones. I mean, some people are a little different put where they put the fence, but you ought to have one. Amen. You ought to have something that says, this is it.
That's right.
Nope, can't do that. Good preaching. You can't do it. Not at our house. It's not allowed. Everybody here knows that. You say, as long as you're living under my house and my rule, then you're going to do what I say. You know, you've heard that. Most of you adults heard that when you was a kid.
Right.
There ain't nothing wrong with telling your kid the same thing.
Amen.
You say, what are we trying to do? Put up a nice fence so we don't have to send an ambulance after you. I love you kids. I know, buddy, if you got access to all that stuff, that fence, you're going to bust it down. You're going to sneak away through and cross over and get into a mess, and we don't want you to do that. It's not being pharisaical. It's just having common sense. Say certain things you can't do. Amen? You just can't do that. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray you deal with the hearts of these people, young people, moms and dads. God in heaven, there's somebody got to have some sense in these homes.
Amen.
There got to be some churches that say, we draw a line at that.
Amen.
Not allowing that here. Nope, we're not going to do it. No rock and roll, no charismaniac stuff. We're not going to do contemporary nothing. We're not going to let queers join. We're not going to let fornicators join. We're not going to do that. We're not going to let people drink and get away with it here and let them join up as members or do that. Lord, there are just some things. There's some fences and there's some lines that ought never be crossed. And we do it, Lord, to stay pure and right. You said, be ye holy as I am holy. About time we had some holiness.
Amen.
Head bowed and eyes closed. You know, I tell our church, holiness is not a dirty word.